gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public option.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God you had your box.
Woo! Mama is back in L.A.
You're not depending on me to play all of your sound effects.
I'm back home with my box, and I couldn't be happier about it.
Thank God I don't have to go into your box anymore.
The Rude Pundit will be back on the Celebrity Hotline where he belongs. It's the magical theater of the mind. Because, see, he's like Superman, and it was like seeing Clark Kent. I was in New York with him. He's a mild-mannered reporter.
He is. He looks, I mean...
I was expecting him to be like Andrew Dice Clay. He's from New York. He's rude.
Hey!
He's from New Jersey.
I just thought he was going to say, how you know, where's my...
Hickory Dickory Dock.
Welcome to New York, you slag. But he wasn't like that at all. He's a very mild-mannered reporter. Very, very nice guy.
Until he takes off his glasses and suddenly...
Yes,
Superman.
And then he becomes a potty mouth. All right, he will be on the Celebrity Hotline in less than half an hour. Next hour, ladies and gentlemen, the best pundit in the world, Paul Begala.
Hey. But, and he's not rude. Sometimes he is, but not as
but
rude.
But in a very charming, funny way.
Yes.
He makes a hilarious fat joke. That's all we care about. All right. lots to get to. The president on the public option this week.
There's been a lot of confusion about this, so let me just clarify. I think a public option is important. And I want everybody to be clear that the public option is just one option.
It's the one option that makes health care reform meaningful, in my opinion, and Chairman Governor Dr. Howard Deans as well. But, okay. So the big breaking news of the weekend, Steny Hoyer. Once again, Jim, why can't we get our together? Nancy Pelosi Friday draws the line in the sand. A health care bill will not pass the House without a public option in it, period. And then Steny Hoyer says...
I'm for a public option, but I'm also for passing a bill. The public option is a necessary, useful, and very important aspect of this. But, you know, we'll have to see. Because there are many other important aspects of the bill as well.
Like, for instance, bending over and grabbing our ankles because the Republicans don't like it.
Matt Taibbi in this, the most recent Rolling Stone, points out that we should have come up with the single-payer plan immediately and used that.
Yeah.
That was...
Yes.
That would have been a bargaining chip.
Yes, and the public option was the compromise, exactly.
Yeah. But now we're...
Yeah, well, I have not given up hope yet. However, we cannot lose to the fearmongers, to the Sean Hannitys of the world.
Their emotions and their frustrations are a testament to the fact that the seeds of a revolution against the president's radical agenda have, in fact, been planted.
I think that's good language to use, revolution, when a lot of people are bringing
guns.
To presidential events. Yeah.
They want another civil war.
There's a great piece yesterday in the New York Times. You'll never guess who it is because it's Monday, Jim. That's coming up, the Guess the Quote. We'll get to that in a moment.
I wonder who that could be.
Okay. And like you didn't know they were going to say this, the president, of course, and his family have begun their vacation to Martha's Vineyard, which is not apparently in America.
No, it's not.
That's even like less American than Hawaii.
Exactly.
How about maybe Michigan, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan? The Michigan economy could use a little
Detroit?
Dose of something
nice.
Good.
Yeah. Detroit,
Florida.
Nice.
Swing state, they need all the good publicity they can get. So I think they're vacation spots that are American. They're maybe a little bit more relatable to other Americans who are also taking vacations right now. And Martha's Vineyard, the worst possible place to go.
It's almost like France.
It's not the worst possible place you can go.
Like France or something.
The Love Canal might be the worst possible place you can go.
We're on in a fine station in Detroit. Love us some Detroit.
And Detroit is a very lovely city.
Yes, most people don't vacation in downtown Detroit. All I'm saying. No offense, Motown. Okay. Jim, you know, it's Monday, and as you know, I'm woefully unprepared and hungover as normal, and so this has become a Monday tradition here at the Stephanie Miller Newscast, is just reading this column in its entirety, practically. Okay. Jim, who said it's time to water the Tree of Liberty, said the sign carried by a gun-toting protester milling outside President Obama's town hall meeting in New Hampshire 2 weeks ago. The protester was a nut. America has never had a shortage of them. But what's Tom Coburn's excuse? Tom Coburn is a Republican senator from Oklahoma, where 168 people were murdered by right-wing sociopaths who bombed a federal building in Oklahoma City in 1995. Their leader, Tim McVeigh, had the Jefferson quote on his T-shirt when he committed this act of mass murder. Yet last Sunday, when asked by David Gregory on Meet the Press if he was troubled by current threats of violence against the government, Coburn blamed not the nuts, but the government. Who said that?
Laura Ingraham.
Spectacularly bad guess as usual. No, Frank Rich, who wrote yet another humdinger of a column yesterday in the New York Times entitled The Guns of August. Why, Jim, there's the theme to today's Guess the Quote. One of these days I'm going to go back and forth between Krugman and Rich, and he won't know what hit him.
Yeah.
I have been writing about the simmering undertone of violence in our politics since October when Sarah Palin, the vice presidential candidate of a major political party, said nothing to condemn Obama haters shrieking treason, terrorist, and off with his head at her rallies. As vacation beckons, I'd like to drop the subject, but the atmosphere keeps getting darker. Coburn's implicit rationalization for far-right fanatics bearing arms at presidential events... Pardon me. The government makes them do it, cannot stand. He's not a radio or Fox News bloviator paid a fortune to be outrageous. He's a card-carrying member of the United States Senate. And on Monday, the day after he gave a pass to those threatening violence, a dozen provocateurs with guns, at least two of them bearing assault weapons, showed up for Obama's VFW speech in Phoenix. Within hours, another member of Congress, Phil Gingrey of Georgia, was telling Chris Matthews on MSNBC that as long as brandishing guns is legal, he too saw no reason to discourage Americans from showing up armed at public meetings. That's something Chris Lavoie said last week on the show, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jim, who said that?
Keith Richards.
No, that would be Frank Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And his, That was the right-wing Thule thing you said last week. Oh, it's legal.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why he couldn't be arrested.
As the sociologist Daniel Bell put it, what the right as a whole fears is the erosion of its own social position, the collapse of its power, the increasing incomprehensibility of the world, and my inability to pronounce incra. Now, overwhelmingly technical and complex, it has changed so drastically within a lifetime. Bell's analysis appeared in his essay published in 1962. While it remains relevant in 2009, he could not have imagined in 1962 that major politicians from a VP candidate down would either enable or endorse a radical and armed fringe. Nor would he have imagined that so many conservative intellectuals would remain silent. Who said that?
Richard Wagner.
No.
Who?
Oh, I almost hit the wrong button. No, Frank Rich in the New York Times. Can I have my fine American music? I'll just read the rest. There's more. Obama complains, not without reason, that the news media led by cable TV exaggerate the ruckus at healthcare events, but why does he exaggerate the legitimacy and clout of opposition members of Congress who, whether through silence or outright endorsement, are surrendering to the nuts? For all the talk of Obama's declining poll numbers this summer, he towers over his opponents. In last week's Wall Street Journal NBC poll, only 21% approve of how Republicans in Congress are handling health care, as opposed to the president's 41%. Should he fail because he in any way catered to a decimated opposition party that has sunk and shrunk to its craziest common denominator, that would be ludicrous. The GOP, whose ranks have now dwindled largely to whites and Dixie and the less populated West, is not even a paper tiger. It's a paper muskrat. James Carville is correct when he says that the Republicans actually carried out their filibuster threats on health care. It would be a political bonanza for Democrats. In last year's campaign debates, Obama liked to cite his unlikely Senate friendship with Tom Coburn, of all people, as proof that he could work with his adversaries. If the president insists that enemies like this are his friends and that the nuts they represent can be placated by reason, he will waste his opportunity to effect real change and have no one to blame but himself. Who said that?
Richard Strauss.
No. Oh, we're not playing Guess the Quote anymore. I already told you.
Oh, okay.
Frank Rich. Yeah,
oh.
Sorry. I was just reading the question. Frank Rich. Okay. Let's see. I have a complaint letter to start with before we go.
Okay.
Yes. Gerald writes to the beautiful Stephanie Miller. That's the only important thing. He thinks I'm pretty and he wants to kiss me.
So the rest is
so funny. Who cares?
Blah, blah, blah. Yada, yada,
blah, blah, blah. I enjoy looking at you, but I very seldom listen to you.
Oh, no. God knows what he's doing when he's looking at you, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. I apparently turns the sound down when I'm on TV. With radio, that's tough to do.
They turn the sound down and say rude things. That's the bird on the radio that gets things wrong.
I will offer some criticism, but I will also offer some constructive criticism.
Oh, thanks.
Everyone thinks their criticism is constructive.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes.
Computer says no.
If it involves an AK-47, that's not terribly constructive. No.
You received a degree in theater from USC. Why, yes, I did.
Uh-oh.
Gerald.
Here it comes.
Your 3 hours come across as a comedy act.
Computer says yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Some comedy is important in our lives. There's entirely too much comedy in the show. Oh. Jim, you'll have to go, first of
okay.
all.
Okay. Good. I'll go home then.
Some comedy is important in our lives, but for 3 hours, it becomes a little bit too much. There are serious issues before the American people, and we need serious people to solve them, and apparently that includes
Stephanie Miller.
We have serious problems to solve, and we need serious people to solve them.
What do I have to do with that?
Yeah. Back. Slide whistle.
On comical issues, comedy is acceptable.
Ah.
But on serious issues, I wish that your theatrical passion would kick into high gear from your degree in theater.
Theatrical passion? What does that mean? Is that code for something?
I don't know, somehow he thinks it might be relevant, my theater degree, to being more serious about serious issues. When there is a comedic issue, fine. When there are serious issues, no.
Computer says no.
He would like a slide whistle.
Isn't theater made up of two masks, comedy and tragedy?
Yes.
Thank you, Gerald. Very good, Producer Chris. That was a magical observation.
It's always people with no sense of humor criticizing the comedic content of the show.
Yeah.
If you could just take that part out.
This is meant to be amusing, yet I find it not so.
Not since Millie in Miami enjoyed only the time checks and commercials.
That's right.
But she listened very attentively to those, and we applaud her. Because, as you know, every time I play a commercial, an angel gets its wings. All right, let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids?
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story, KFC has a bacon sandwiches that uses fried chicken as bread.
Yum. That sounds great. I like it.
That's good.
There's actually a YouTube of the commercial for that, and it really does look kind of good.
Me lucky. Meet the KFC Double Down. The sandwich consists of two fried chicken cutlets wrapped around bacon cheese and the Colonel's sauce.
Ooh, what? Made from the Colonel?
What pray tell is the Colonel's sauce?
We have our favorite former congressman from Illinois, Danny Hastert. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Can't that be true? Is there a place for me in the world after all? Sure, retirement from politics has been great, leaving me time to chew at a fat at Raymond Schneider's house of meat. And I don't mean fat to my heart's content. A man has to feel useful to feel alive. But where could I find a home for my peculiar talents? I mean, after you finish a couple dozen of those 72-ounce steaks down there in Texas, it gets boring. Now it seems KFC has opened the door for me to express my inner creativity with meaty delights. They've developed a bacon and cheese sandwich between two pieces of fried chicken. Genius. It got my juices flowing, and I'm going to present them with some of my own ideas. Check this. You're feeling peckish, so you go down to the local fast food emporium and order up a mortabasset dog. That'd be a hot dog stuffed into a kielbasa, stuffed into a whole mortadella, and then deep-fried to a golden lusciousness. 2 feet long, 8 inches in diameter, a triple tube steak delight. Or how's this? Meat challah. That's right. Special skinny bratwurst braided into a delicious loaf of ground-up critter, brushed with suet, and baked till it's a mouth-watering golden brown. At the Gilda Lily, we'll take the old standby, the turducken, and put that baby inside a sheet and spit-roast it to a fairly well. Take some slices of that baby, fry them up, put them on a 2-pound ciabatta loaf, put that mustard dispenser to work. Comes with a side of Lipitor. But here's my favorite, a steak burger. That's right, ground sirloin seasoned to perfection between two 16-ounce porterhouses. If that ever catches on, I advise you to buy napkin stock. You can have it your way, and if you don't mind, I'm going to have one my way right now. Steak burgers. I'm going to need a freaking fire hose to clean out my colon after this.
Yeah.
So worth it. It's good.
Oh, boy, that's all for stand-up news, part one. I think we need to cleanse our palate with some sorbet now, 20 minutes after the
hour. Before we get to some Dick Morris.
Meat sorbet.
That's right, we have Dick next.
Yeah, we have lots of Dick
next. We have
next.
Another screechy Dick Morris screed.
We have great big Dick next.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That laughter sounds like the result of misbehavior.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you going to be my girl?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour.
Well, I hope they got the girl, at least. Just haven't had a hit since then. But
1-800-STEP-1. Let's hope there were some deeply committed groupies. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. And finally, in stand-up news, oh, another screechy Dick Morris rant. Yay! Political expert...
What?
That's funny! Dick Morris is warning that President Obama's drive for health care reform is up there. Rationing of treatment. For America's elderly.
Mm.
How is Obama going to cover 50 million new people without any more doctors or nurses, Morris said on the CBS Early Show. The answer is he is not. That's going to mean, what that means, rationing, which is primarily means the elderly don't get the medical care that they get now. We have the rest here.
The hatred of the Obama administration for America is quickly becoming a hideous monster. This horrible train wreck he calls the health care reform is a knife in the heart of the American way of life. You see, if he covers everyone, then doctors and nurses will have more to do, and they'll make less money, which means they'll quit because they're all venal, greeny swine like me. And then we'll all decide to be political pundits because we've never missed a paycheck or a meal in our lives. And then where will I be? I'll have to compete with really smart people, so naturally I'll go out of business. That would mean I'll be subject to food rationing. Then instead of the sleek, fulsome, beautifully porcine hiney that I rely on to pull totally illogical, hate-filled...
Hat-filled. That'd be funny, too. Pull the hat out of it.
Totally illogical, hate-filled, self-serving screeds out of. I'll have some puny, trim little butt that won't even hold a weekly op-ed piece. I mean, might even have enough breath left to finish the sentence without gasping like a grouper out of water. I won't know who I am anymore. I'll get weak and my toe sucking will lose all its oomph, and the hookers will laugh at me to my face instead of waiting to get back to the brothel. Then no one will listen to me, and the Clintons will win. The Clintons will win. Not anything but that. Oh, the Clintons win. How about my money? You get my oxygen jet.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. There's a title ad at stephaniemiller.com. Go there, buy the album, why don't you? Thank you. You can also go to voicedeity.com.
That is the ironic thing, isn't it?
Isn't it ironic?
Under a President Obama health care plan, Dick Morris would actually get an oxygen tent so he could complete a Republican talking point.
That's right.
Without falling and breaking some glass objects. I think that was the Ming Vaz that went there in the last... Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Call a carpenter to fix the floor.
That took out a few floorboards.
It did.
Julie,
he found
Seattle.
Himself in the basement afterwards.
With the rats that Linda Tripp used to hang out with. Hello, Julie.
Good morning. Yesterday on CBS, they had a little commercial for a show coming on called The Good Wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if maybe Jim has a starring part in there because they said it was... The wife is saying, they're playing a tape of you sucking toes of a hooker.
Yes. The Good Wife is about a wife who stands by her man, her political man, even though he's had some indiscretions.
Wow. So it's based on the lovely Mrs. Morris.
Well.
Is there a Mrs. Dick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, the rude pundit. He's kisses and tells. He says in his latest posting, last week, Rude Pundit had the deeply erotic pleasure of being in a New York City studio alone with Stephanie Miller. What went on under the table away from the mics, we'll never tell. Maybe he will next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, my God, I'm a bitch.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I was right. That sandwich for the KFC, it has ended up on thisiswhyyourfat.com.
It has.
One of our favorites.
And I put a link to that up in the Twitter feed.
What's the sandwich called again?
The KFC Double Down.
Yes, it's two fried chicken cutlets wrapped in cheese and bacon.
And double down against the bacon. It's basically a cheese and bacon sandwich with two pieces of chicken for bread.
And the double down will get you a quadruple bypass.
There you go.
So it's
so if you do the math.
Yeah.
All right. I think that may be replacing catswholooklikehitler.com in my affections.
This is why you're fat.com?
Yes.
Or rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Oh, that's also one of my favorites. Why would you bring that up? What? Who is it, Jim?
Hey, who wants more rudeness about Tom Ridge and the healthcare reform protests? Everybody. So
everybody.
Here's, who's your papa? It's Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit.
Good morning, Rude.
Good morning, Stephanie.
I'm going back to my magical fantasy of you as a super rude man and not the mild-mannered reporter who I actually met in studio last week in New York.
You know, I like to think of myself as a mild-mannered shoeshine boy and go the underdog route instead. You know what it was? Is I walked in the studio and I was absolutely stunned by being in your presence.
Oh, that's it. Uh-huh.
Yes. Stop it,
that's,
Lee.
I am. I'm a human stun gun.
Even dressed for spinning, it was.
Were you dressed for spinning?
Yes. I found my gym in New York and went spinning after the show.
Stephanie!
So?
Well, it's not like I expected an evening gown.
That I normally wear.
Yes. Is that how you're dressed now? Because you're just coming in from your evening out when you get to
the Yeah, her headphone is getting caught in her tiara. Yeah.
Yes, there's lots to do in New York.
She's
and I don't
Cinderella.
I don't have to get up at insane o'clock in New York.
Yeah.
You write this week in a very kiss-and-telly kind of way. For about an hour, the Rude Pundit had the deeply erotic pleasure of being in a New York City studio alone with Stephanie Miller. What went on under the table away from the mics, he'll never tell. I do remember being on your foot.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Did you get the feeling back in your foot?
No, I was limping the rest of the day. I had to go to elevator subways to get downstairs.
Now, here's one of my favorite things on your site is the photo that you post every week. And this week's is the photo that make the Rude Pundit want to start using his old Minolta hand crank camera. And it's a picture. You write, that's President Obama there, made to look like Yasser Arafat, thus demonstrating that Photoshop is available to any right-wing tool anywhere. In this case, Israel, don't you know, from a Monday protest. Man, between Hitler and Arafat, that Obama must be licking his chops to get the gold in Rahm Emanuel's teeth. Yeah, it's every week he shows up as someone else. Last week he was Hitler.
Oh, yeah. I mean, eventually he'll be Attila the Hun. They'll just work his way. I mean, he's the Joker. You know, he'll be, Captain Bly. He'll be every villain in history. Has there been a Darth Vader one yet?
I don't know. I was reading the Frank Rich piece at the top of the show, and this is what's getting distressing. I mean, I know we don't know what's going to happen, but obviously it's feeling increasingly likely like we're going to get health care, but without a public option. And you're just like, really? We're going to cave into these nuts? I mean, because, you know, there's no difference now between the lunatic fringe carrying these signs and the Chuck Grassleys.
And don't we have John McCain to thank for that? I mean, John McCain, when he made Sarah Palin his running mate, he essentially said, "It's okay, you guys can be yourselves now.
Yeah.
One of yours is now out there." And it was like yanking the cork off of the bottle and letting the mad genies out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's like Tom DeLay's drunken appearance last week that we talked about. He's a birther. This is the former Republican House leader.
Yep. And I watch all these guys with guns, and I'm thinking, isn't this what the Black Panthers used to do and that everybody used to get so upset about? I mean, isn't this why they gunned down some of the Black Panthers? Because they would show up outside of political meetings with guns.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. I don't know where what you're feeling about the healthcare debate. You're kind of still going, is this still a game of chess? Is it possible we're gonna? Because you've got Steny Hoyer contradicting Nancy Pelosi over the weekend.
Well, the sheep are scared, and you know sheep are easily scared, and they scatter. And so hopefully, when everybody's staycation is over, that Obama will come back like a good border collie and get everybody back in the pen.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, you know, I was trained.
That was a metaphor I just beat to death.
Yeah.
That was.
Well, you know, as a tot of the Goldwater Miller ticket, my dad ran with Goldwater. I was trained to hate LBJ
mm-hmm.
as a child. But you know, Jim's been saying this for a while that he's got to knock some heads. I think, and get the Democrats together at least. The Democrats are more his problem right now. If you can get the Blue Dogs, you're like, look, we're going to pass real health care reform with a public option.
But the good thing is that if people could be swayed this quickly, this easily, just by people ranting on the TV and outside and inside the town halls, then how easily are they swayed back? Luckily, everybody's fickleness and short attention span can work in our favor as we get to the actual end of the debate.
Yep. Oh, well, I hope so. I mean, that's the thing, that it seems really up in the air as to what's actually going to happen here. You have conflicting signals coming out every day, don't you?
Yeah. And when do we get the passionate defenders of the public option out there? When do we get to see them, other than Chuck Schumer and Anthony Weiner?
No, I know. That's the thing. I get heartened every time I see a Maxine Waters on TV or a Howard Dean, but I don't know. You know, I mean, to me, just doing the math, there's a lot more members in the Progressive Democrats caucus than there are in the Blue Dogs, right?
Yeah, but they talk crazy talk, and nobody wants to hear that.
Let's talk about your, I love your reaction to, let me get my finger on the bleep button. The Root Pundit's initial reaction to the revelation by Tom Ducton Cover Ridge was that when the first grand poobah of Homeland Security, the Bush White House wanted him to raise the terrorist threat level as the 2004 election approached, was an eye roll. More or less, it was, oh, really? Who would have thought that? That's right, everybody. And as usual, when some former Bush official comes clean, he felt the bile poison in his throat as he thought, thanks, sucker, for waiting. Now go back to sucking... Sorry, I over...
Wow, that was...
Go back to sucking, you scabby-kneed whore. Exactly. It's like, oh, now you tell us, right?
Yeah, I feel like the liberals were like in some kind of Skinner box experiment where, you know, everything that we would say during the Bush years, we were told, you're wrong, you're bad, you're wrong, you're bad.
Right.
And now that it's coming out that, you know, it's everything is right. This is one of those occasions where it sucks to be constantly right.
Yep.
You know, we can't be right about something fun like, you know, hey, legalizing marijuana really was a good idea.
Right.
You know, it's always got to be, yeah, okay, they were using drills and death threats.
But in your rude way, you make the point. You said it didn't matter to Tom Ridge that he could have ended the presidency of someone who actually wanted to lie to us that we were on the verge of an attack in order to maintain power. That's actual evil, mother... Ridge didn't resign until February 2005, distant mm-hmm. enough from the election so that the Bush administration could fully consolidate its power, mm-hmm. Which, you know, that's exactly right. You know, you kind of go, oh, look, he's a good guy after all. And you're like, no, he would have been a good guy if he actually had a spine when it mattered.
It's as if everybody who entered the Bush administration was, like, taken by Karl Rove to some kind of dominatrix whorehouse.
Yeah.
and, like, forced to wear leather pants and get chained to a wall and get photographed so that if they should ever leave...
They get the goods on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like you mentioned this every new revelation about, you know, from the CIA, like, oh, yes, we knew prisoner abuse. Oh, really? It was worse than we thought. You know, now it's mock executions and electric drills. And...
Which was really just like hazing at my fraternity.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were always power tools involved.
Yes. I want to know, when do we start getting apologies, you know? When do we on the left file, why didn't somebody say to us, all right, you know all that stuff we called you crazy about, we're sorry.
Well, I can't believe that even now they're not doing that, Lee, on the, these nuts showing up at rallies and the actual violence that's occurred, and that's exactly what was in the Homeland Security report that was commissioned by the Bush administration about these far-right lunatic fringe groups turning violent.
Yeah, and with all these guys with their, you know, with their penis substitutes that they're dangling out there in public, dangling from their, you know, why don't we just get a bunch of people to actually show up at a Republican rally and a bunch of guys just actually show their penises.
Walk around just and get it over
showing.
With.
It's really
well, because awesome. Then we would realize the reason they have to carry guns, I think, you know what
exactly,
I'm saying.
Exactly.
Oh, I get it now. Okay.
You know who needs an apology? You know who I think needs an apology? I think the don't tase me bro guy needs an apology.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, we can understand. I like your penis idea because
yeah.
Then we'd be like
you're stuck on a bunch of junk hanging out at a rally. That's
yeah. Oh, I get it. You need something that goes off in your hand that you can see without a magnifying glass. All right, we understand now, and good for you.
Yes, yes, and you know, even better if it can go off repeatedly.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Yes. Well, you know me. I'm the happy clappy liberal, as you know, Rude. But I have to say this Frank Rich column. I mean. There is an undertow here that you're going, wow, this is getting really darker and darker. And it did start, obviously, during the campaign with the Sarah Palin rallies. And, you know, then when you see the actual guns at the rally, you're starting to get, as people have pointed out before, like the Oklahoma City bombing, you mm-hmm. start to get a really bad feeling, you know?
And it's that they're not, and there's nothing that they're believing that's true. That's
right.
That's really,
yeah.
And isn't that the way these movements always kind of go? You know, it's not nobody is coming in to take your gun away. You just want to, you know,
right.
Okay, let's admit that nobody's coming to take your gun. You won. You don't have to be a well-regulated militia. You won. You can keep it. Now, just be cool about it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't the president get it? You're right that he has to basically, he's had to pretty much go out and just keep knocking down the same lies over and over again. Mr. President, they're not even debating your plan. They're debating something that is not even your plan, so screw them. You know?
It's like there's this fantasy conversation going on that he's not that we're not really a part of. It's like when you're with somebody and all of a sudden they start yelling at you for something that you have no idea that you did.
Right.
And you think, okay, there was some conversation going on in your head that I wasn't part of that
right.
you're now just letting me in on.
Right. Well, you're like a Mrs. Rude. There's a Mrs. Rude, right?
No.
Oh, there isn't.
There isn't.
He's a single Rude.
Oh. I am single Rude. Next time you're up in New York, I believe there's a falafel hut I could take you to.
All right. Well, yeah, listen, and Jim Ward is newly married. He'll know what I mean. I don't mean to be sexist towards women, but, you know, there is a time of the month when if the Rude, I'm sure, has had a girlfriend or two, and you do find yourself arguing about completely irrational things. It's probably nothing you ever did. But that doesn't matter at the moment.
So you're saying that all of the birthers, this is all just everybody on the rag. It's just a universal.
Exactly.
You know, half of America or 25% of America
yes.
is on the rag.
Yes, or drunk like Tom DeLay. And I would like to see his gift certificate.
Yeah, drunk and on the rag, which is always a good combination.
Yeah, oh, Lord.
All right. The Rude Pundit is therudepundit.blogspot.com. He is our hero. Thanks for coming on with us, honey.
Thanks, Steph.
See you next week. There you go.
Yay!
He is hilarious. Well, now, there's a little GTK for my next trip to New York. There is no Mrs. Rude yet. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. All right. As you know, we learned last weekend from Politico, the president takes his marching orders from his powerful talk show allies.
Yes. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
We're going to tell the president what to do next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Wendy in Chicago on our Danny Hastert. Oh, God.
Oh, good morning.
Yeah, hi, Wendy.
Danny Hastert and the sausage. You think he's gone, but he's not. He's coming back. He's coming back in the form of his son, Evan Hastert.
Oh,
no.
God.
Oh, no. God.
He is going to run in 2010 against this wonderful progressive named Bill Foster, who beat out the Republican in that race back in 08 because he ran in the platform of being a scientist and being reasonable. And now Evan Hastert is going to come back. So it's a little frightening out here. Also, I want to warn everyone in Chicagoland, your good friend, Jan Schakowsky, I hope she's wearing a thick skin on August 31st on her town hall, and I have confidence she will be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she can. If you've ever seen her on TV, she can take them on.
She was on Real Time with Bill Maher over the weekend.
Yeah. Oh,
and she was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic to know because Niles West, August 31st, is her town hall at 6:30, and I'm seeing some of my freak friends here on Facebook, I use the word friend lightly, that the teabaggers are planning a showdown that night. At
oh, yeah, because they like to beat up on girls.
And most of these teabaggers, I'm telling you, don't live in her district.
Yeah,
they're coming
course.
From the collar counties of like McHenry and Lake and Kane. They don't even live there.
Yep. Well, but, you activate all the good progressives to come and civilize the conversation.
Civilized. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good one.
Thank you, Wendy. All right. All right. I think I mentioned this earlier, but Jim, you were right a long time ago. Sometimes I steal things from you right away, and sometimes I wait and then steal them. But Obama needs to go LBJ on the Democrats' ass. Mm-hmm. He needs to start knocking some heads.
Well,
as you know, Barry Goldwater picked my dad as his running mate because, quote-unquote, he drives Lyndon Johnson nuts. That's what Barry said. So I was trained from a young age not to really like LBJ. However, in this case, the president needs to say, come here. This on CNN.com this morning. As President Obama struggles to regain control of the health care debate, he's finding himself caught in a game of tug-of-war with members of his own party. The conservative Blue Dog Democrats don't want a bill with a government-sponsored public health plan, and liberal Democrats have said they won't pass legislation without one. The White House needs to take more of a role in trying to broker a deal between the Blue Dogs and party liberals and bringing them together and trying to find some compromise, said one political analyst. It's like a coach who took a ball, threw it in the middle of the court, and said, okay, go get it. And everybody runs there, and they have a huge scrum, and there's not a lot of progress. I think he needs to be more hands-on. Why not start with areas of consensus among all Democrats and then trying to move from there? It certainly became clear to most of us a long time ago that you're not going to get any Republican votes no matter what.
Right.
So that's a giant waste of time. Although, fine, if it worked politically, good. Oh, look, we've been trying to work with Republicans. Oh, gee, what a shock that they don't want. I mean, literally, any compromise we've come up with, they've already preemptively said they're not for that.
Right.
They're not going to vote for it, no matter what. Anyway, he goes on to say they have to let the dust settle, then come back in September and begin serious negotiations with the two Democratic wings. And they have a very simple message. If you do to the Obama administration what your predecessors did to the Clinton administration, we will have a rout in 2010. Some of you, many of you, will lose your seat. That's the message, and that's how they get some health care reform. Following the defeat of President Clinton's health care in 94, Democrats lost control of Congress for the first time in 40 years. It took 12 years to get it back. He predicts that Congress will pass some sort of legislation this time around, but said, I just don't think it's going to be nearly as elaborate, all-encompassing as the liberal elements have been hoping for. And that's the debate we've been having here on this show. And you do hear two sides. You know, Jim, if you go back in time to Medicare or Social Security, some experts like to point out that it wasn't the whole thing at once, that it had to come segments, you know, and so that's what I've been asking, is some health care reform better than none? Is half a loaf better than none? But a lot of us feel like the public plan is the most important part of the loaf, you know? So I agree with what you said earlier, Jim. We should have started at single payer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody that's negotiated anything in their life, you know, you know that you've got to, in order to negotiate, you've got to start from a strong place.
We had, you know, majorities in both houses of Congress and had the presidency with, you know, like won by huge margins. He should have just gone in with like gangbusters and said, we're going to get single payer.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, take a hike.
Right.
If he'd just been that strong from the beginning,
well,
they would scream bloody murder, which they're doing anyway.
Right.
And eventually,
this, I mean, this isn't over
compromise.
Yet, but you know, like we're saying, it obviously doesn't look good for the public option.
Yeah.
Here's some fun facts from John. I believe this is Newsweek. As you know, I have a lot of time on the plane.
Yes, you do.
When I fly across the country, because normally I'm quoting the Newsweek from 3 years ago because I just got to it.
Yeah.
This is a new one, though.
Yeah, but you had TVs on your plane, so
that's true. So I had to go back and forth,
right,
between 5-year-old Newsweeks and the TV on the the JetBlue. Yeah. Anyway, but bringing up Johnson again, interestingly, take 1965 for example. Lyndon Johnson had just clobbered Barry Goldwater by 16 million votes. I remember. In one of the most lopsided elections in U.S. history, Democrats outnumbered Republicans 68-32 in the Senate and 295-140 in the House. Yet when the jewels of Johnson's Great Society, Medicare and Medicaid, came up on the congressional docket, Democrat Wilbur Mills sat down with rookie minority leader Gerald Ford to craft a compromise bill. 6 months and more than 500 alterations later, the Social Security Act of 1965 arrived in the Oval Office with the support of 13 Republican senators and 70 of their House colleagues. The fact is, he makes a really good point. The fact is, the sort of Republicans who voted for Medicare in 1965 no longer exist. Since the early 70s, Democrats have drifted only slightly leftward, but thanks to the realignment and redistricting, the practice of slicing the electoral map into ever more politically homogenous districts, a 2003 Republican House member with a voting record at the median of his party was about 73% more conservative than his Nixon-era counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
This is the point I've made over and over. This is not my dad and Goldwater's party anymore. That's why we can't cave to these nuts. They're all lunatic fringe at this point. No matter, let's see, which means he was about 73% less likely to reach across the aisle no matter who was reaching out from the other side, and the odds are only getting longer. And that's exactly what we've been saying since day one on this. You were never going to get any Republican votes.
No.
The kind of Republicans when my dad and Goldwater are running, they're not there anymore. Any bill relying on modern bipartisan support to pass would need to be vague on key areas and weak on others.
Uh-huh.
As one.
And Republicans don't respect weakness. They only respect strength and power.
Yep.
And Obama should have come in and said, this is it, my way or the highway.
All right.
Because otherwise they're just going to tear the whole thing apart.
57 minutes after the hour, only one man to talk to now. That's the best pundit in the world. CNN's Paul Begala next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice of deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public plan option. All right, if only there was somebody who was the best pundit in the world and knew exactly what was going to happen, we would... Yes! Who is it, Jim?
It's the greatest pundit in the world, which you insist on pronouncing with a Liverpool accent for some reason.
Sorry.
It's CNN's Paul Begala.
Hooray!
CNN's Paul Begala. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I wanted to... I'm fine, although I'm not allowed on CNN because, as you know, I'm a radio host.
I saw that. Well, of course, this... We finally, our network got rid of Glenn Beck, who was a radio host. He's kind of I don't know if you ever go to Ringling Brothers, but he's sort of the guy with the big red nose.
Yes.
he's a clown. But yeah, I didn't quite get that memo, but.
You could fit him and Lou Dobbs. You could fit him and Lou Dobbs in the same Volkswagen, couldn't you?
Well, that's a good point. Actually, Lou still has his radio show. Lou's my buddy, though. I want you back. I want you back.
We'll thank you, baby.
Talk to the network suits about this.
Thank you. Now, Paul Begala, you, as you know, are my kind of Democrat because you are a fighting Democrat. What do you make of what is going on with health care and what's going to happen?
Well, the big date that I would circle on my calendar is September 15th. That's when the fight begins again. I think it's wise for the president to take a little time off, just a week, you know, go hang out with the kids. The Senate Finance Committee, this group of six, they're gonna keep meeting. They may just be spinning their wheels, but Max Baucus has said, look, September 15th is the day. We gotta have a bipartisan bill by then, or he has indicated he'd be willing to go it alone.
Okay.
And I think Democrats in the Hill are already there. But I think out of respect to Senator Baucus, you ought to give him till September 15th. And maybe they'll come up with something, or maybe they won't. If they won't, Democrats have to go it alone.
Right. Well, as you know, I mean, many of us Democrats are frustrated. First of all, you know, we have Steny Hoyer contradicting Nancy Pelosi over the last couple of days. Those of us obviously that are for a strong public plan are like, good. She drew the line in the sand Friday, right? She said no bill without a public option, period. And then Steny Hoyer says, maybe. So where are we?
Well, some of it is there's been too much negotiating in the press.
Right.
Yes.
The way to do that, I was so frustrated with our Health and Human Services Secretary, Governor Sebelius. She went on Meet the Press last week and seemed to kind of give away the public option in exchange for nothing. Now, I'm for getting something and something big. If you have to give some huge chunk of your bill up, you do it in a smoke-filled room in exchange for 20 or 30 or 40 Republican votes.
Right.
You don't just give it away on Meet the Press. So
right.
I don't like any of this negotiating in the press.
Well, and that's what we've been saying this morning, Paul. I don't know if you agree, but why didn't we start with single payer? I mean, as you know,
right.
As someone, you know, the veteran of many, many political negotiations, why didn't we start from a stronger place?
Well, that's the thing. It does. The public option already represents a compromise for progressives. I think the president understood from the beginning that single payer wasn't an option. He also did not campaign on it. And so it's always kind of useful to try to, you know, enact the ideas that you campaigned on. And this bill is pretty close to what he campaigned on. It's frankly more progressive right now than what Barack Obama campaigned on.
Mm-hmm.
He did not campaign really calling for a strong public option at all,
mm-hmm.
nor did he campaign on a universal mandate where everybody had to be covered. So this bill I think it's an awfully good bill.
I think
the question is, can we get it through?
Right. And, Paul, I think that's my point. You know, a lot of times, you know, the president clearly, I think everyone agrees, is a very smart man. And we have said from the beginning, and maybe that's just a hope that he's playing chess and the rest of us are playing checkers.
Right.
I mean, is there still a chance we can get a health care reform with a strong public option?
Yeah.
Like Howard Dean says,
yes.
We can.
Yes, there is. And yeah, I go back and forth. You know, look, I know you were for Obama in the primaries. I was for Hillary. One of the reasons I was for Hillary is I didn't like all of Obama's, you know, airy-fairy talk about bipartisanship. I don't believe it's possible. I believe I have a lot of Republican friends. I have family members who are Republicans. They understand one thing, like all bullies, superior force.
Yeah, Jim just said that. Yep.
Jim, you're exactly right. And so now we have superior force. We have, by actual elections where they counted the votes, which is not always the case in this country, we have the White House with 53% majority. We have the House. We have 60 votes in the Senate. I think we should enact what we believe in. And the president does seem enamored, like a lot of really decent people, with this myth of the reasonable, rational Republican.
Well, I just read this piece that, you know, because it's interesting. It quotes, you know, my dad is quoted among others. But, you know, the fact that these are not Republicans like back in my dad and Goldwater's day.
Right.
They don't exist anymore. They're the lunatic fringe. They're birthers, for God's sakes, you know?
Right. And look at the focus of all the bipartisan efforts that Max Baucus, God bless him, he has the patience of Job. His focus has been on this guy, Chuck Grassley, right, the senator from Iowa. And all the president has lavished attention on him. Senator Baucus has lavished attention on him. And so what does he do? You know, he Grandpa Twitter gets out the BlackBerry and says, we want to pull the plug on Grandma.
Yep.
Well, that's not bipartisan.
Yep.
Then he called our president intellectually dishonest. Which is staggering, you know. That's who we're supposed to be dealing with on a bipartisan basis. I think we should let this play itself out, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think the least we can do for Senator Baucus is give him till September 15th and see. But if you're a skeptic like I am, then the president will have a perfect legitimacy in going it alone. And I think that's what's going to happen. They may have to use reconciliation, this process in the Senate, which only requires 50 votes. But, you know, that's how the Republican Congress passed welfare reform in 1996.
Right.
That's how Republican Congress passed the Bush tax cut.
Thank you.
Major legislation and reconciliation. We should do so again.
Well, Paul, exactly. I mean, as obviously a veteran of the Clinton administration, you know, we all remember that lesson that, you know, the Democrats got swept out after, you know, health care failed to pass. So I do think that we have to pass health care reform. My fear is, like Steny Hoyer said, I'm more in favor of passing a bill, like any bill, than the public option. But I think we need to pass a strong bill, don't you?
I do, but I am haunted by my own experience with President Clinton, where I was one of the people who put that pen in his hand and told him to stand in front of the Congress and wave that pen and say, if you send me a health care bill that does not cover every American, I will veto that bill, send it back to you, and we'll start all over again. Well, that was setting the bar too high. We drew a line in the sand at 100%. And frankly, I would have been happy in retrospect if we'd have gotten 75%. But we didn't. And so I'm a little leery, though, about drawing lines in the sand. I understand what the speaker's doing. She's a strong speaker. She has done a great job running the House. But I am a little nervous saying it has to be this provision or that.
Right, but the president, I think, is the one, Paul, that needs to go to the blue dogs and say, this is what I want. I want a public option, which is he's been saying from day one, Paul, and saying, you will get swept out first if we don't pass health care reform. So if you're the ones that stop it, that's what I'm saying is, isn't it the president? I mean, don't you think he has overlearned the Clinton lesson in that he hasn't been involved enough yet?
That may be, although I'm really hesitant to judge. This is, as the great political philosopher Peter Townsend said, it's very, 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 very hard to pass health care. And you know, he's learned a lot from the mistakes that my crowd made. I think he's learned a lot from the successes that we had. And one thing he's got that is really impressive is he's got a very, very exquisite sense of timing. And that's why I keep saying, watch September 15th. I think that's the date we will know if he's going it alone. I suspect he will have to go it alone. And then we're going to have to see the Barack Obama who filled 80,000 people in that stadium in Colorado and you know, drove hundreds, 100 million people to the polls on Election Day. I mean, I think that's
right, and I agree that, like, as he has said recently, Paul, you know, the election, this is just the election. Like, all of us that stood with him, I think you're right, we have to stand with him now, and we, you know, make your voices heard if you want a strong public option and you want real health care reform. Because I think you're right, it's like a lot of people that got involved during there are like, oh, okay, he's got it now, he can do the rest. But clearly this debate proves he can't.
Right, a good leader needs good followers, and he had great followers in the election, but I think some of us have kind of sat back. Understandably, people are busy looking for work or trying to figure out how to pay the mortgage or how to keep the braces on their daughter's teeth. Mm-hmm. But we got to reengage, folks.
Yep.
We have got to reengage. And you're absolutely right. If these Democrats, if they fail on this, they'll lose the Congress. And I briefed a bunch of House Democrats before the recess. And I told them this. Look, Barack Obama's going to win reelection. You know, who are they going to beat him with? You know, Sarah Palin?
Yikes.
The question is, will you? And I said, if you are in a convertible with Barack Obama and you go through a car wash together, only one of you is going to get wet. And it ain't going to be Barack.
I love you, Paul Begawan. You know why?
Why, Steph?
Because you are the best pundit in the world.
Thanks a lot. Well, you guys have the best radio show in the world. I can't wait to get you back on CNN.
Well, but good. Make that call next. Thank you, Paul Begawan. Love you. Mean
thanks,
it.
Steph. Thanks, Steph.
There he goes.
Yay!
Paul Begawan. He loved him.
He's a fighter.
I say it here. It comes out there. Paul agrees with me.
I guess that makes you the second best pundit in the world.
But I just got an email from someone who made a pretty good point that constitutionally, the president doesn't write legislation.
No.
So he needs to be careful about being seen as crafting this legislation. He can't get too involved
in crafting the legislation. Well, but I agree with Paul about negotiating.
Put out the basic outline.
Right, absolutely.
Not the details.
But I agree with Paul about negotiating in the press. Because it just
it's doing nobody any.
Yeah, I mean he said public plan, and now
people
of course he is saying maybe public plan, and it's like then don't say that in the press because then of course
because then you'll be seen as waffling when waffling is a part of negotiation.
Yes. Speaking of the best pundits in the world, our buddy, our pal Rachel Maddow, who we know. Julie from Seattle writes, Rachel puts Meet the Press back up to number one. Wow, Mama, in one show, smart and snazzy Rachel Maddow, whom we know, pushed the struggling Meet the Press back to the top-rated Sunday show.
She, wow.
How about
that? That's great.
You know, and she used to be a radio host. Isn't that crazy?
And you helped her fine-tune her comedy bits.
I did. I was the Chris Farley character from SNL in her office. I literally...
Remember that time when you did that?
And then you turned to Dick Armey at me the first, and you said, do you really think that's a problem that people want to give up their Medicare when you said that? And then,
that was awesome.
She seems like she'd be a really cool chick
to
hang out with.
Yeah, she's so nice. She really should.
And she could mix drinks.
Yes, and I also geeked out on Kent Jones as well, and I redid his whole ordering pizza bit to him, and Okay. What a sad little woman I am.
Uh-huh.
However, yes, the fun facts from Politico.com. Interesting, Julie from Seattle sends it along. After dropping to this week in both total viewers and the demo a couple weeks back, Meet the Press back on top as the Sunday morning leader. In light of Gregory's convincing win, HuffPo asks whether the ratings could have been affected by a Maddow bump.
Yeah.
Given that the MSNBC host made her first appearance on the show this past Sunday with the Dick Armey. While you can't quantify the X number of viewers tuned in just because of Maddow, such anecdotal evidence could lead producers and hosts to think more beyond the usual suspects on Sunday morning.
That would be nice.
Huh. An interesting idea.
You mean like radio hosts? Hmm. That sort of thing?
Shortly after taking over in December, Gregory actually said the one objective was to bring in some younger voices outside Washington to capture the enthusiasm in the country and the sentiment in the country for the change that Obama represents, instead of the fossils that generally populate Sunday morning television.
Yes.
No offense to any of the said mentioned fossils that are listening.
But I don't think George Will is listening to the show.
No, something tells me.
But spicing things up doesn't mean bringing in liberal voices from outside the ranks of the Beltway punditocracy. I noted when Stephanopoulos had his big win 2 weeks ago, it was Michelle Malkin was on. So either side of the aisle, but she's a blogger with a big, online whatever. She's nuts, but still.
She's in a bit of a skank.
Just saying. Okay. I could tell some inside baseball stories, but I won't.
Excuse me?
You know I've had, let's just say,
talk about a tease.
Some network at some point called me about a show and then decided, no, they wanted to go with more, inside the Beltway people that everybody's seen 1,000,000,000 times.
I thought you had some inside dirt on Michelle Malkin.
Oh, no. But I'll get some during the break.
Okay.
All right. Should I read my hate letter for this hour? Which, actually, it's a hate letter for Jim, but I always take the bullet.
Well, should we take a break first? And then,
yeah, let's do that.
All
let's
right.
tease that.
Well, you know what? It's actually worse than a hate letter, Jim. It's a disappointed listener.
Oh, no.
It's like when your parents were not mad.
Disappointed.
Exactly. 20 minutes after the hour, back with that and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Huh. That was kind of cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
No, clearly not.
No.
No. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour.
Are you ready for some kumquat jam?
Had that for dinner, but thank you. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. George and Tempe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey,
let's ignore the mooks together, wanna?
It's about time that we take a message out of Republican playbook. We've got to repackage this. We've got to rebrand it. You know, you're starting with Patriot Majority. It's a great idea. You know, it's a lot better sounding than MoveOn.org. Here's what we got to do. We got to start calling this the All-American Health Plan. Forget calling it the public option. It's the All-American Health Plan because it covers all Americans and it's all American for you. We've got to do this, you know?
Yep.
Branding.
Yep, exactly.
Republicans are better at branding.
Yep.
I haven't given up yet. If it weren't for Jim,
What?
I would like to read. This is from Ed, our disappointed listener. Stephanie, I've been a fan of your show for a long time, but I was extremely disappointed last week in your skit about a debate between Joe Lieberman and Alec Baldwin. Am I to believe that the thing you don't like about Joe Lieberman is that he's a Jew?
Oh, God.
That's it. Jim doesn't like him because he's a Jew.
That's the only thing you can draw from that.
By the way, I would appreciate it if you wouldn't tell me to get a sense of humor. I've made my living as a TV comedy writer for a good number of years here in L.A.
Doesn't mean you have a sense of humor, as there are many sitcoms that have shown.
I'm guessing you wrote for that Jeff Foxworthy program. I would very much like a response. Well, all right, Ed.
Good Lord. The rod up that man's butt must have a rod up its butt.
We do not dislike Joe Lieberman because he is a Jahu.
Because he's a quizzling turncoat.
Exactly.
That's why we don't like him.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
And he's beginning to turn on health care, too.
Yeah. Oh, yes, by the way. Uh-huh. Joe Lieberman. Gee, what a surprise. Lieberman says health care changes can wait. Gee, he's normally such a stalwart ally of ours. I'm shocked, I tell you, shocked to find out there's waffling going on in the Lieberman camp. Senator counted on by Democrats. Yeah, which ones? In the healthcare debate, showed signs of wavering yesterday when he urged President Obama to postpone many of his initiatives because of the economic downturn. I'm afraid. We've got to think about putting a lot of that stuff off until the economy is out of recession. That's part of the reason the economy is in recession.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there's no reason we have to do it all now. He agrees, I guess, with Senate Republican leader Mitch McChinless, who said Republicans would like to start over with a genuine bipartisan approach. Oh, okay. This time you won't pull the football away? Okay. Let's start over.
I'm sure the people of Connecticut would like to start over with a genuine Democrat for a senator.
Uh-huh.
How about that?
By the way, he said...
How's Ned Lamont doing, by the way?
Yeah, Mitch McChinless said the American people will be very troubled by a single political party's my way or the highway attitude.
You mean like we have the past 8 years?
Oh, God. Yeah, that would be troubling, wouldn't it, Jim, if we had some sort of administration that was a my way or the highway? Wow. That is, they really count on us having no short-term memory at all. Like the Bush administration was so long ago, we won't remember all the stuff they rammed through that nobody wanted but them. All right, 28 minutes after the hour. Apparently, John McCain also has not gotten the bulletin that he lost in a landslide. We will tell you what he had to say on health care as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I am a proud and evolved woman, and I have nothing to be ashamed of.
It is the...
Yeah, except for licking Keith Olbermann's chair while you were there.
Ew.
They put it in a different studio this time, so I wasn't able to reach it.
Oh, okay.
He's across the street from where the Ed Show is. All right. It is the...
Really?
Yes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes. You think they'd let me anywhere near Keith Olbermann's studio again? After the chair licking incident? 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, you made a good observation. The rude pundit who was just on, Lee Papa.
Right.
We were in studio together last week in New York as well,
mm-hmm.
and you said if we do get married, I would be
Mama Papa. I have to credit someone on the live blog for that.
Okay, whatever. Brian and we own them.
Yeah.
Brian in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Brian. Hello, Brian. Brian going once, going twice, and then Stephanie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, you know, I can't believe that person complained about the Lieberman skit. We don't like Lieberman because he's a juror. Come on.
Yes, it's another word that starts with J.
Yeah.
The
G-E,
well, not Jew.
No, yeah, exactly. And I just have a question. I heard a little rumor that you're coming to Madison.
I am indeed. Bill Press and I are coming in October.
Yeah.
This
really?
Is apparently news to my producer. Yes, and I'm going to Chicago in November. You probably don't know that yet either.
No.
Could you please let me know so I can put these on the calendar?
I write them on cocktail napkins. Anyway, Steph, I will see you there.
Yes, you bet.
All right. Yeah, I forget myself sometimes.
Oh, and I'm moving to Zimbabwe.
What?
What?
Jim,
no.
Hi.
Oh. Well, also,
I just wanted to say Zimbabwe.
You know, we need to let Rebecca know so that travel arrangements can be made.
Oh,
and
I'll need to find some way to transport myself there.
Yes.
Is what you're saying. Good to know.
Oh, boy.
All right. Anyway, Tommy in Columbus sends us the headline, McCain, Obama must drop the public option, blah, blah. Uh-huh. Can somebody please tell this crazy old coot that he lost
yeah.
and he has been on a government-run health plan his entire life?
Exactly. Yes, he has.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you.
The Navy, and then
he grew up in a military family. Yeah. So his dad was an admiral. So even as a baby, he was on government health care.
Senator John McCain says President Obama will have to drop proposals for a government-run insurance option if he hopes to reach congressional agreement on health care, blah,
up.
Blah, blah. McCain says many Americans are losing confidence in Obama, partly because of concerns about the so-called public option.
Concerns we're not going to have one. That's
I was going to say, they're losing confidence. Tommy sends the original poll. I forget where this one was from, but you were saying this, Chris. A lot of times this also depends on how they phrase the question.
Absolutely.
Because of all this right-wing misinformation. But 77% of the people in this poll want health care reform with a public option.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Tommy says, let the Republicans filibuster because sooner or later we're going to have to fight this fight without the Republicans. So, that's what's incomprehensible to me. I think you're right, Jim. It's because he's not being liberal enough.
Exactly.
It's like the right likes to say, it's because he's gotten so radical.
just the opposite.
Maybe he's clearing his head, regrouping on Martha's Vineyard, and he'll come back, a fighter.
Well, he has said, he's done with the Republicans now, that mm-hmm. he's finally realized that that's fallow ground.
Yes, in fact, the story this morning, the breaking news, President Obama and his family began a week-long vacation on this Massachusetts island with a message to reporters who have crowded the New England villages, chill out and don't expect much.
He so didn't it's say the same. Chill out.
Well. It's the same version of Chill Out Mother. I got this. Okay. He's got this vacation. Relax.
I wonder if he has that famous picture up in his office. Chill Out Mother. I got this.
He should.
As we know, someone in right-wing world this morning already said that he should have gone somewhere more American.
Yeah.
Because apparently, like Hawaii, Martha's Vineyard, not in America.
America isn't good enough for you.
Bad news for you, Massachusetts. Bye-bye. You can join Hawaii in the places that are not.
Well, we're just lopping off big hunks of America, aren't we?
And Alaska wants to secede, so, yeah, whatever. And so does Texas.
Speaking of caving into right-wing lunatics, Michelle, who are playing small ball, Michelle Obama opted for a casual skirt, not the shorts that drew criticism when she wore them to the Grand Canyon.
Oh,
what?
When you go to the Grand Canyon, you wear shorts.
Expect an evening gown and high heels to go hiking in the Grand Canyon?
It gets hot up there.
She wore shorts.
I couldn't believe that people were.
Let's get back to the big ball, not the small ball. Can I have my fine American music, please? Paul Krugman. You know it's pronounced Krugman, Jim.
So
yes,
I've heard.
I know.
Wrote a great piece, All the President's Zombies. The debate over the public option in healthcare has been dismaying in many ways. Perhaps the most depressing aspect for progressives, however, has been the extent to which opponents of greater choice in healthcare have gained traction in Congress, if not with the broader public, simply by repeating over and over again that the public option would be horrors, a government program. Washington, it seems, is still ruled by Reaganism, by an ideology that says government intervention is always bad and leaving the private sector to its own devices is always good. Call me naive, but I actually hope that the failure of Reaganism in practice would kill it. It turns out, however, to be a zombie doctrine. Even though it should be dead, it keeps on coming. First of all, even before the current crisis, Reaganomics had failed to deliver what it promised. Remember how lower taxes on high incomes and deregulation that unleashed the magic of the marketplace were supposed to lead to dramatically better outcomes for everyone? Yeah.
Computer says no.
Didn't happen. To be sure, the wealthy benefited enormously. The real incomes of the top 1%, top 0.1% of Americans rose sevenfold between 1980 and 2007. Whatever gains ordinary Americans achieved actually came during the Clinton years.
Huh.
FYI. GTK. There's a lot to be said about the financial disaster of the last 2 years, but the short version is simple. Politicians in the thrall of Reaganite ideology dismantled the New Deal regulations that had prevented banking crises for half a century, believing that the financial markets would take care of themselves. The effect was to make the financial system vulnerable to a 1930s-style crisis, and the crisis came. The debate over the public option has, as I said, been depressing in its inanity. Opponents of the option, not just Republicans, but Democrats, like Senator Kent Conrad and Senator Ben Nelson, have offered no coherent arguments against it. Why won't these zombie ideas die? Part of the answer is there's a lot of money behind them. It's difficult to get a man to understand something, said Upton Sinclair, when his salary, or I would say his campaign contributions, depend upon his not understanding it. How will this all work out? I don't know, but it's hard to avoid the sense that a crucial opportunity is being missed and that we're at what should be a turning point but are failing to make the turn. Paul Krugman, in another great piece in the New York Times, All the President's Zombies.
Yeah, I mean, again, our Democrats, I keep saying this, just think it's self-evident, the things that we believe in. But people have to be told, look, the economic crisis is the direct result of Reaganomics and getting rid of all the New Deal legislation.
Yep, absolutely. The president talking about the...
We've all heard the charge that reform will somehow bring about a government takeover of health care. I know that sounds scary to many folks. It sounds scary to me, too. But here's the thing. It's not true.
Well, that's also like Paul Krugman says, caving in to the notion that government's always bad.
Yes. We have government-funded health care. It's called Medicare and the VA.
By the way,
it works.
Jonathan Alter, another fine American, with some other advice for the president as well. Health care is a civil right. Obama needs to reframe the debate. We've forgotten this is the most important civil rights bill in a generation, though it is rarely framed that way. Passage would end the shameful era in our nation's history when we discriminated against people for no other reason than they were sick. A decade from now, we will look back and wonder that we once lived in a country where half of all personal bankruptcies were caused by illness, where Americans lacked the basic security of knowing that if they lost their jobs, they wouldn't have to sell the house to pay for the medical treatments to keep them alive. We'll look back and wonder, that is, if we pass the bill. Jonathan Alter.
There have been a lot of good columns from columnists lately.
And as you know, the Monday show has consisted almost entirely of them.
Unfortunately, a lot of people who hear that can't read.
That's why I read it on my show.
Yeah, that's right.
That and because I have done no show prep because I was drinking all weekend. However, I'm still doing a public service by being unprepared. Do you see how I magically turn that around?
I see that, yes.
My lack of preparedness, good for America. You know, the president has tried to reframe the debate, too, as a moral issue, as Reverend Jim Wallace and others have talked to us about on this show, because it really is. It's the key. I think it's the key moral issue of our time. And the right wing's going to turn that against him. I love this. Wait, you have to go down to give me cut 12. Andrea Tantaros.
Who?
On Bill O'Reilly's show.
You've been on with her before.
Yes. How dare Obama use this as a what?
Barack Obama this week, in possibly the most overtly religious move of his tenure thus far, got on a call with 1,000 religious leaders and started quoting scripture. He said that people that opposed his plan were bearing false witness. He said we need to take care of his brother. We need to take care of our brothers and sisters.
What?
Well, Barack Obama, why don't you take care of your own brother then? I mean, invoking religion and scripture to try and pass this bill is on its face a disgusting, plainly transparent political move that they are trying in the very last moments to try and get this thing through.
She's breathless. Religious.
Wow.
How dare you?
Talking about things that Jesus would have actually done, like help the poor and the sick. What?
Everyone knows he's a Muslim commie atheist.
How dare he? Mike Huckabee is saying the same thing.
The faith wars heat up as some religious leaders are now trying to sell Obamacare as a moral obligation.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is this a Hail Mary by the White House?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I see. That's a Hail Mary pass, you see.
Apparently Republicans think that they've cornered the market on religion.
Yes. Yeah.
Religion is to be used to keep rich people. That
oh, like
is
for
offensive.
Instance, that right-wing religious group, they paid for many of Senator John Ensign's trips.
Yeah.
It's that kind of moral values.
I can't tell you how offensive that is that they think they've cornered the market on religion.
Mm. 43 minutes after the hour. All right.
Whose health insurance would Jesus cancel?
How big a copay would you have to pay for leprosy? We'll answer that and much more on healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
To be honest, I've never seen such dysfunction.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Welcome to it, 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number's toll-free from anywhere. Let's go to Terry in Roanoke, Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Are you there?
Yes, go ahead.
Healthcare. I don't know if it's going to get through the way it was originally promised, because it's just the paid, profit for pay, aspect of it. I don't know if that can be done away with.
Yes.
But a lot of promises were made, and some of those promises have to be kept. Otherwise, they mean nothing. And no other promises, nothing else will be believed. If you don't keep some of the promises, you're never going to be believed again.
Yeah, well, I agree. Somebody had said this early on, but, I guess it's easier to explain Medicare for all. I mean, people understand what it is.
Yeah. Yep.
Whereas a lot of people, public option, they are falling prey to the right-wing lies that, it's a government takeover, it's blah.
Bill Maher said, it sounds like a train station toilet.
Yeah.
Public option.
Well, this is what I was saying, is the president has had to spend most of his time, as he did again this weekend, batting down right-wing lies over and over again. So the more you're spending time arguing about things that aren't in the bill, you're not explaining to the people what is in the bill. President Obama challenging critics of his push to the overhaul the healthcare system to stop making phony claims. Yeah, because they'll listen to him. I'm sure Sean Hannity will stop today now that he said it.
Uh-huh.
He said it should be an honest debate, not one dominated by willful misrepresentations and outright distortions spread by the very folks who would benefit most by keeping things exactly as they are. So today, I want to spend a few minutes debunking some of the more outrageous myths circulating on the internet and cable TV, blah, 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 repeated at town halls. Oh, here's some breaking news. Obama said the overhaul would not cover illegal immigrants, nor use taxpayer dollars to pay for abortions, and he does not intend a government takeover of health care. And there's no death panels. He said these are phony claims meant to divide us.
Computer said yes.
Yes. And we spend every day knocking them down.
I'm tired of it.
Yeah, read Matt Taibbi's article in Rolling Stone about, sick and wrong, how Washington is screwing up healthcare reform and why it may take a revolt to fix it.
Yeah. What? You say you want a revolution? Why, that sounds good. How about a good revolution for real healthcare reform?
You want a revolution.
Who I would follow into battle any day, our homegirl, Representative Maxine Waters.
We're going to do everything that we can to organize and bring pressure on those senators, some of whom are Neanderthals. We're going to say to the president, we want you to use every weapon in your basket.
Yes.
Yep.
Exactly.
And you know what? Fox News wouldn't play that audio of that town hall on their air because it's people in support of healthcare. They only play audio of people against healthcare at town hall meetings. That is another example of Fox News bias.
It's create a false impression that the majority of people
absolutely
don't want healthcare reform. It's nonsense, and the media are just.
Yep.
Falling for it, hook, line, and sinker.
Senator Arlen Specter.
It is dropping because of so much misinformation. People are hearing talk about death panels and that would be wrong, and people don't like it.
Oh, Arlen Specter, by the way, is
a stand-up comedian.
Yes, he became a stand-up comedian over the weekend. He actually got a good one off at the, what was it, a comedy club.
I'm delighted to be with you. After being a town meetings, I'd be delighted to be anywhere.
And I'm all for single bullet health care. If once you get sick, shoot him in the head.
That's a JFK conspiracy thing. That's because of
the father Spectre. Of the single bullet theory.
Right. Yes. Which is reason enough BS. In Jim Ward's mind to vote him out. Yes. Senator Joe Sestak.
Sestak, yay, yeah. Sestak.
If you have to change the evidence to suit the theory, there's something wrong with the theory.
Ken in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, here's a happy little thing to put some spring in everybody's step.
Okay.
It's a little off topic, but I heard the other day that Glenn Beck, Walmart, pulled out their sponsorship for his show.
Wow.
Walmart.
Yikes.
So
okay.
I'm thinking about going and buying some toilet paper from him now.
All right. Although we're not a fan of applauding people losing sponsors, because, you know, it could happen to anybody.
It really could. And, you know, we shouldn't be applauding that because it, you know, puts a big target on our show.
What?
What?
Except, well, if you wouldn't have mentioned that, we would have been fine. Kim in San Francisco. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, kids. Listen, we had our town hall last weekend with our rep, Jackie Spear. She's great. She's our homegirl, and she's got our backs. But I got to tell you the reaction that there was in our town hall to the people that got on. And there were very, very, very few people but who got on and said, this is a Nazi Adolf Hitler plan. It was the funniest thing. There were about maybe 300-400 people there. Whenever somebody would come up and say something like that, everybody just started kind of laughing. And it wasn't even forced laughing. It was just that it was so funny. It sounded like I was in a theater watching a Neil Simon play. I swear to God. So what we should do in these future town halls, you know, go ahead and take a laugh track, download it from somewhere, and when you go to these town halls and these people start saying, no, no, this medical plan is made by Hitler, go ahead and put the laugh. Exactly!
All right. I'll bring my box, and I'll say, hey, it's
springtime for it.
Sure.
Yeah, you right-wing lunatics, and I don't know.
Whatever.
Well, we kind of need to take that out of there, don't we? Springtime for George Bush and Iraq?
Yeah.
Well, it was.
Well, yeah, but... Yeah, we can put the original.
I left my finger on my button too long in my box.
Okay.
Carrie,
again?
Carrie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. I just want to say that I think they have Blue Cross Blue Shield for their health care, the Congress people.
Uh-huh.
I really think that if they had to pay for it, if they had to go and actually pay.
Yeah, they might understand.
Uh-huh. They might have a little different tune.
Yeah.
Just a little. I also think that...
That's the thing with people going, oh, I like my insurance. It's like, really? Do you like the rates that keep going up and up? Mm-hmm. My friend the other day just said, my rates just went up again. I'm like, yes.
Yes.
And that's going to keep happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you, Carrie.
What if you have the bad judgment to get sick and they decide to pull the insurance because you're costing them money?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the miracle of the marketplace, the invisible hand of the free market giving you the finger yet again.
Boy. Okay, so reconciliation is one of the things obviously being considered. I keep hearing different takes on this. It is because it is complex, unpredictable, and divisive. Reconciliation is unpopular with many Democrats, not to mention Republicans. But Capitol insiders say Democratic leaders will use it before accepting a full-blown defeat, and some see it as the likeliest outcome. The problem is some people say, you know, it's sausage that's not going to look very good when it's done.
It won't
look like Swiss cheese. There's a lot of food analogies
because
they can strip things out of it. And,
I don't think the public option is eligible for reconciliation. That's what I've heard.
I don't. Anyway, I guess the good news is President Obama likely in September to end Democratic efforts to work with Republicans on health care legislation. Thank you. And press for a party line vote if the stalemate on the issue in the U.S. Senate persists. A person close to the White House said the president and his advisors have started devising a strategy to pass a measure by relying only on the Democratic majority in each House of Congress. But that also entails getting the Democrats together.
Yeah.
And knocking some blue dog heads, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because somebody pointed out they will be the first ones to get swept out of office if we get routed in the next election.
Here's another quote from Matt Taibbi's article.
Yes.
Quoting Max Baucus, there may come a time when we can push for single payer. At this time, it's not going to get to first base in Congress. And helping it not get to first base was Max Baucus.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Thanks, Max, for your thoughts. 57 minutes after the hour, back with Tinsel Talk and more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by the Patriot Majority. Patriot Majority believes it is our patriotic duty as Americans to pass health care reform now with a strong public option. All right, which I still believe in. We will continue with the latest on health care debate as we continue. Terry Jeffrey, the teeny tiny voice Republican pundit with a great big vision for America. Mm-hmm.
That's not fair.
Saying something, once again, in right-wing world that seems completely the opposite of the truth. But
Bill Clinton had a lot better sense of the center in American politics than Barack Obama is. I think that Barack Obama is losing his approval because people seeing him lurching far, far to the left, far to the left of the center of American life.
Computer says no.
By wimping out on
The public option.
Single payer and the public option.
Yeah. No, it's because he's gone.
Trying to be bipartisan and listening to idiots like you.
And he's far to the left. Far, far, far to the left.
Yeah, Clinton had a better sense of the center of American politics, and that's why he passed health care reform with a... Oh, what?
He got no Republican votes at all.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Same thing's happening now.
Right. Oh, you knew it would have to happen. They'd have to throw Tom Ridge under the bus, because every time a Bush administration official belatedly tells the truth.
Tells the truth, yeah.
Charles Krauthammer on the...
utter nonsense and a trumped-up charge. The only evidence here is I wondered. Where is evidence of any pressure?
Okay. Anita writes with a fine American. Thank you. Why?
Why?
Because she has good political points, but it really is all about...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes!
You're a pro.
Steph, in spite of our brilliant, charismatic president's efforts, healthcare reform is on fumes and both my head and my heart are about to implode. I feel I must say the following. The solution is embarrassingly simple, and yet progressives just don't get it. Wealthy progressives need to put their money where their political mouths are. Like it or not, mainstream America gets its quote-unquote news from TV and radio. Conservatives and neocon figured this out decades ago and have been willing to put huge sums of money into purchasing TV and radio networks.
Uh-huh. Computers,
they use these vehicles to advance an agenda that favors the corporate interests of the top 1%. They use lies, distortions, and manipulation to get the bottom 99% of Americans to vote against their own self-interest. Mm-hmm. Even if progressives had equal access to TV and radio, it would be a challenge to get the truth out and fight the lies. Without this access, however, it is impossible, and any attempt to advance progressive issues is and will continue to be a complete exercise in futility. Where are all the wealthy progressives? Why have they not bought TV and radio networks? Why do they still not get it? Thank you. You are the smartest girl in class, Anita. And also, it's something that would help...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
And computer says yes.
The liberals have bought into the lie of the liberal media, so they've been sort of lulled into complacency, thinking
and
that,
now,
oh, well, our message is getting out.
Yes, and
the
now...
The liberal media is owned by huge corporations.
Yeah, exactly. And now CNN has banned radio hosts, which once again is going to hurt liberals more, because conservatives have the 7 billion radio stations to get out their right-wing talking points
and
on.
And Fox News is on basic cable, and it's in every hotel and, you know, 7-Eleven. I don't know about 7-Eleven, but...
Pretty much.
But
airport.
Yeah. Entire airports. Yeah. The entire terminal is full of Fox News.
Jim, I have a guess the quote for you this morning. Who said insurance companies are delighted with the way quote-unquote reform is unfolding? Think of it. The government is planning to require most uninsured Americans to buy health coverage. Millions of young and healthy individuals will be herded into the industry's welcoming arms. This is the population the insurers drool over. Who said that?
Adolf Hitler.
No. Bob Herbert in the New York Times. I threw you off because it wasn't Frank Rich. We did that in hour one. Ha, 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 ha. Who said if the oldest and sickest are on Medicare and the poorest are on Medicaid and the young and the healthy are required to purchase private insurance without the option of a competing government-run plan, well, that's reform the insurance companies can believe in. Who said that?
Herbert von Karajan.
No, Bob Herbert, the same guy in the New York Times, an article entitled, This is Reform. Who said, meanwhile, the public, struggling with the worst economic downturn since the 1930s, is looking on with great anxiety and confusion. If the drug companies and the insurance industry are smiling, it can only mean that the public interest is being left behind. Who said that?
Herb Alpert.
No, that was a better guess. So Bob Herbert, same guy in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Herb Alpert of Tijuana Brass?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Only one thing to do now, and that is Beaver Stack, just to cheer all everybody up. Julie in Seattle, you know, our Beaver reporter.
Yes.
This is, I swear, a complete coincidence. Mama just was in New York last week and over the weekend, and Beaver has been spotted on Long Island for the first time, and I was nowhere near. I saw it first, said Steve Schoenig, a carpenter with the Men at Work Construction Company. He saw it first.
Huh.
Mr. Schoenig had the honor of having set eyes on the first beaver seen on Long Island in over 100 years.
Wow. I thought it was the first beaver since Amy Fisher left.
I guess it is just men at work there. There have been no beaver sightings.
Steven said, I didn't know what it was at first. You know how that would be, Jim, if you haven't seen one in 100 years. I said, Ray, a beaver. He came down. That's a beaver.
He what?
He said, that's a beaver, not a muskrat. At first, it was just a long tail. Then I knew it was beaver right away. He was wet.
So he went down to see the wet beaver? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Penny said beaver is indigenous to Long Island, but were trapped out of existence by the early 19th century.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's easily trapped.
It's also easily fooled.
Easily baffled.
Yes.
That's why they have beaver bafflers and beaver deceivers. Or men, as I call them. This is really amazing. A full-size adult beaver. He said it's a full size. For years, the telltale evidence of beaver activity in the form of gnawed branches and logs, yikes.
Ow.
Ah.
Has been found on area beaches. So important was beaver skin to the early European settlers that today the beaver, the second largest rodent in the world, remains Canada's national animal. Beaver, very popular in Canada. Those are the fun facts from the today's
Beaver
Stack.
Beaver gets cold in Canada, though.
Certain neighborhoods in Toronto, you can see quite a bit of
beaver in their natural habitat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here.
Vancouver.
I dare say Edmonton, too.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Oh, gosh, speaking of entertainment, you know, them there, Sean Hannity Freedom Concert
Whatever.
Things are coming up featuring...
They've been ongoing.
John Voight.
Yeah. Oh, my God, and guess who else is making an appearance at these things?
Huh.
Rich Little.
Oh, no.
Yes, he is.
And it might go a little something like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, President Jimmy Carter.
Okay, so there'll be some of that really...
Put the teeth in.
Yeah, that really current, cutting-edge...
Amity.
Yeah.
Well, you better put on a sweater. Because that was a crisis.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Benny. Oh, Don.
So, I have no idea what Jack Benny sounds like. I would have no idea if someone were doing a Jack Benny impression.
John Voight, apparently.
Thinking it over.
John Voight, apparently a member of the Family Values Party, the Republicans, the kind that doesn't talk to their own daughter.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie, they don't speak. Okay, he said there's a real question at stake now. Is President Obama creating a civil war in our own country, Mr. Boyd says?
I can answer that. No.
We are witnessing
right-wing yahoos like you that are doing it.
We are witnessing a slow, steady takeover of our true freedoms. We are becoming a socialist nation, and whoever can't see this is probably hoping it isn't true. If we permit Mr. Obama to take over all our industries, if we permit him to raise our taxes to support unconstitutional causes, then we will be in default. This great America will become a paralyzed nation. Mm. All right, we have the rest
John Boyd.
Yeah.
There's a real question at stake now.
Is comrade President Vladimir Hussein Osama creating a civil war in our own country? As Professor Emeritus Glenn Beck has proved with geometric logic, not only was there a second key to the refrigerator containing the strawberries, but Osama bin Laden has a deep-seated hatred for white people, which he developed in the communist re-education camp in Kenyanesia, Muslimistan, in which he was born. He now wants to turn my country into a socialist, Nazi, communistical, Negro-centric, Mussolini, and Maoistic, Stalinist, Nazi hellhole, like Sweden. It's just like that black commie lesbian bitch whore Rosa Parks who forced white people off public buses at gunpoint so they had to crawl to work naked through broken glass, uphill, both ways.
The buses. Why did she take away the buses?
Oh, no.
That's right, Sean. If Comrade Insana is not stopped, this so-called healthcare scam will force people to kill their own grandparents while being sodomized with mandatory forced late-term gay French Muslim colonoscopy abortions. While being forced to watch Anaconda on a continuous loop,
yeah.
Which I wouldn't even wish on my commie lesbian slut whore bitch daughter, who insists on raising foreign inscrutable Indo-Negrasian children to further erode the status of white people in my own country. So I ask again. French.
Oh, dear.
I rest my case.
Thank you.
Oh, well, that just makes it more understandable now. Yeah. Oh, we finally found a medical term for a gay abortion. It's a colonoscopy abortion?
Yes.
Mandatory forced late-term gay French Muslim colonoscopy abortion.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to know. All right.
That's Obamacare for you right there in
a
nutshell.
Oh, boy. You know, things are going bad when we've got porn stars freaking out at banks.
What?
Gross-looking Ron Jeremy loses his at a bank. I have a naked stack here to finish up the... entertainment news.
Okay.
Radar Online source spotted the porn legend on Friday in Hollywood hitting up a local bank on Sunset looking anything but sexy as he arrived at the bank closing time dressed like a slob. At least he was dressed.
Well, somewhat, yeah.
Ron was dressed in a ripped t-shirt, nasty sweatpants, and his tidy whiteies showing. He arrived at the bank right at 6 p.m. He tried to go inside, but the doors were locked, and he had a major freak out. Wow.
In a related story.
In a related naked story.
That qualified as news?
Yeah. Yes. What's up with the naked unruly flyers? That's a question might be asked today after an airline passenger caused a ruckus, stripped naked, and forced his flight to divert to a different airport. That's the second time in less than 2 months that such an incident has occurred. This latest incident?
Uh-huh.
Southwest. That's where it always happens. Southwest Airlines. Wow. Yes. Flight 947 bound for St. Louis with a stop in Vegas.
Worst. You don't want 947.
No. Had to return to Oakland at 8:15 a.m. After a man exposed himself to a woman seated next to him. The flight attendants and other passengers then wrestled with the 300-pound man. Ooh, it's like the Borat scene.
Exactly.
Who flailed at flight attendants and broke away, stripped naked, and was lying in the plane's aisle as it made a return trip to Oakland to remove the man.
And to make it worse, he threw up on people.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh,
great.
At least you've never been on a flight where that happened.
I'm going to stick with Screaming Baby Airlines.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it. All right, we have...
Southwest Airlines spokesman. Thank you for coming, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, let me apologize for the incident involving a 300-pound naked man who not only exposed himself but became violent and vomited all over the people who tried to restrain him. But enough about Ron Jeremy at the bank.
Hey.
Seriously. Seriously, people, if you are a morbidly obese, pockmarked, cottage cheesy glob of foul-smelling goo, trust me, nobody wants to see you naked. Why couldn't it be Jessica Alba or Jessica Biel? Hell, I'd take Jessica Fletcher, but no! Why is it always guys who look like the before picture from The Biggest Loser? Okay, here's what we're going to do. And I know this will not be popular, but we're going to have all the passengers stripped naked before they go through security. Not only will there be absolutely no possibility of concealed weapons, and yes, we will be wanding you down there, but we will also be able to select the attractive people and leave the Morlocks in the terminal. Just to be fair, the pilots and the flight attendants will also be au naturel, giving new meaning to the term cockpit. I suspect we'll see a lot of mile-high orgies involving the passengers and the crew, champagne flowing like water while the autopilot goes on overtime. And that, ladies and germs, is why Southwest will once again and forever be at the top of the American Customer Satisfaction Index. Take that, JetBlue! Which would you rather have, TVs in the back of the seats or non-stop orgies? I rest my case. No questions.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Volderall.
Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. Tile ads, stephaniemiller.com. Go there, buy the album. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oy, howdy. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more icky celebrity sex stories.
Who?
And then more.
Who does it involve?
Healthcare.
Just tell me who it involves.
Different people.
Uh-oh.
You'll find out.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God! That's a like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's like...
Stephanie Miller.
Girlfriend, things that make you go ooh.
Things that make you go ooh.
Things that make you go ooh. Yeah. Things that make you go ooh. Ooh, ooh. So things that make you go ooh.
Ha. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, give it to me. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800 Steph 1-2, the phone number toll-free from the day. From anywhere, the hold your calls, the line of the day for the Stephanie Miller newscast has been deemed by the live blog to be...
I can't remember what it was now.
Who's ready for some kumquat jam?
Kumquat jam, which in context made some kind of sense, mm-hmm. but now I...
It was something very, very, very dirty.
Yes.
Jim said it, so I think you can imagine what it meant. Okay.
Oh, you asked me if I was ready for this jelly. That's what it was.
Oh, I don't think you're ready for this jelly. And then Jim said,
I was ready for some kumquat jam.
That's it. There we
Squeezy
go.
Squeezy said it, and I think we know what he meant. Yeah. And that's another reason never to miss another minute of the Stephanie Miller newscast. Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. One question before I get to my point. Can I be the official pest from the Midwest of the Stephanie Miller Show?
So done.
Thank you very much. How come the DNC has not said to the Blue Dogs that the DNC will withhold all monetary and logistical support in upcoming elections and back their opponents, their Democratic opponents, in the next election?
Right. Dave, this is what we've been saying, why we didn't start even from single payer. I mean, here we are now in August negotiating with members of our own party to get an already watered-down compromise. I mean...
No, you're right. There is a President Obama put out a blog on Facebook, and expat Americans are weighing in from around the world as to how wonderful their single payer system is from Canada, France, Hong Kong, everywhere, and they're wondering why we can't do it at home.
Yep,
absolutely. All right, honey. All right, I officially don't care anymore whether Paula Abdul is back on American Idol.
Now, when did you start caring?
I didn't. I refused to give anywhere about someone that turned down $7 million. A year or whatever it was, through a drunk tweet.
Well, when they brought in Kyra, what's her name? I kind of saw the writing on the wall.
Well, yeah.
And she would have, too, if her vision wasn't blurred.
Yeah.
Okay, her manager says that she
knows something about music and who isn't drunk.
Yes, she's not in talks to come back to Idol, as has been rumored.
When have you ever seen an episode of American Idol?
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Barbara Streisand?
Yes.
You know, a lot of people have sex tapes that they unwisely made with their ex.
She doesn't have sex tape.
She has a song tape. She's a person who needs another person with a lawyer. Her ex-boyfriend is hoping to make a quick million off by auctioning off tapes of her earliest performances. He says he met her in 1959 as castmates in an off-Broadway play, and they became lovers.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like a former boyfriend, like Don Johnson or something.
No, Barry Denon.
Who?
You know him.
Oh,
from the 1959 off-Broadway play.
Whatever.
That guy. The two collaborated on a few songs, and he's held onto those tapes until now. After they broke up, she asked for the tapes back, but he refused.
Computer says no.
See, these days, it's can I have my sex tape back?
Computer says no.
These days, it's already up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so he's auctioning off tapes of her early singing or... whatever.
Whatever.
Okay. I think we have some tapes of her earlier singing, don't we?
Not these.
Not these?
All right. Icky Celebrity Sex Story Part 1. Mark Lester, a British former child star and godfather to Michael Jackson's three kids, said Michael Jackson asked him for his sperm because he couldn't have sex with women.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
Michael Jackson
oh.
didn't like to have sex with women? I've never... That's crazy.
What?
Yes, from the celebrity department of no Sherlock. He says on the he said on the Today Show he was addressing rumors that he may be Paris Jackson's sperm donor. He said there's a possibility that one are very unlikely, but all of those kids could be mine. We'll tell you all the details of that when we return, whether you want them or not.
I don't want them.
28 minutes.
I'm going to tune this next segment out. Sorry.
No, you're not. 28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And I gotta admit,
There was something about
Stephanie Miller
that turned me on.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2's. What, Step-1-2's?
You're drunk.
Mm-hmm. Toll free from anywhere. Dave in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Mama. You smell great today.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
It's, you're welcome. He has one of them scratch and sniff HD radios.
Oh, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Actually, I do have HD. But anyway, the point is that when you see Fox News at a public place like your doctor's office, at a hotel, you can tell management you want it changed. My sister manages a hotel for the military, and she gets comment cards, you know, forwarded to her BlackBerry as soon as they come in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lieutenant colonel with the Air Force said, I really don't appreciate this network being on, you know, disrespecting our commander-in-chief. And Mary read it out loud, and I said, well, tell them to switch it to CNN or something else. I know that's not your favorite these days.
And I'd say MSNBC. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, okay. She immediately called her manager and said, put on something besides Fox and do it right now.
Yay!
It
can be done. We can one office at a time across America.
That's right.
Make this a better, more perfect union. All right. More importantly, we have a fun fact about Barbara Streisand's boyfriend from 1957 that's selling her tapes of her early singing. His name is Barry Denon.
Is that what it is? Barry Denon?
Yes. He was in an off-Broadway play with her. Here's a fun fact about Barry Denon.
Yes. Go to 12 on Twitter says, Barry Denon was also pilot in the original and movie version of Jesus Christ Superstar. He was also in Fiddler.
Oh, my God.
I love Jesus Christ Superstar. We didn't find any music from it. I don't think we have.
Computer says no.
Sorry.
Jim did a lovely version of I Don't Know How to Love Him during the commercial break, though. Here's a fun fact about Mama. I made out with the cutest boy of the public school, Mike Robinson, during Jesus Christ Superstar.
Well, no wonder.
Back in the 70s.
Wait a minute. You made out with a guy who attended a musical theater?
Uh-oh.
No, he went to the public school. I was a Catholic girl.
Oh.
Anyway, I
So was he
Jesus
gay
Christ.
Before that, or... After.
He probably is now.
By the end of the show, he was.
Yeah.
All right. Quickly, back to the guy that says Michael Jackson asked him for his sperm because he apparently did not enjoy the sex with the women folk. Mm-hmm. And if you believe this, you're a bastard person. He says all of
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people. Mm.
He says all of the kids might be his. Michael was very shy when it came to women, and he confided in me he actually found it very difficult to do the sexual act or to be anywhere in that area.
Oh, are we breaking this out again?
Pardon me?
Any other area.
That area.
Oh,
but particularly that special area.
Any other area.
I don't want to be breaking that out.
Jackson asked Lester for his sperm around the time Paris was conceived. Lester failed to explain why Jackson's anxieties about having sex with women impaired his ability to father a child in a test tube. I don't know either. Maybe he was scared of the test tube because it looked like that error.
Any other error.
Okay. All right. Icky celebrity sex story part two. John Edwards reportedly moving the breaking news, reporting the mother of his love child into his North Carolina neighbor.
That's according to the Inquirer.
Oh,
who's
well.
Been right every time so far about it.
Yeah.
The Inquirer has also learned, this is probably something that from the Department of Sherlock, you probably don't even need the Inquirer to tell you. They report that Elizabeth Edwards, not very happy that. Elizabeth Edwards reportedly exploded in a rage when he told her of his parenting plans and that he's moving his mistress and baby to Wilmington.
Oh, boy.
All right. Okay. Cool. Hey, delisted.com, let's finish up with one of our favorite purveyors of celebrity snark.
That's right.
There's actually an assistant has to hold a giant fan on Jennifer Aniston during her movie
shoots. A giant
shoots.
Electric fan.
Why don't I have someone on my voluminous staff that can do that?
Well, you need a voluminous staff first.
That's true.
And plus a big fan during a radio show, probably not the best idea.
That is one of her fans.
D-Listed writes something that I can confirm because I was in New York City this weekend, and that is, it's hotter than a cat's in New York City. So I can completely understand that Jennifer Aniston needs a big-ass fan to keep her ovaries from shriveling up. But damn, while you're bitching about your job and your air-conditioned cubicle, think of the poor sap who spent all afternoon being a human fan stand. If that was me, I would have accidentally tipped the fan under her head so their prize locks would get tangled in that. I know, this is why I don't have nice things. D-list.
I am not one of your fans!
Chris in Raleigh, North Carolina. Back to the healthcare debate. Hey, Chris.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
As a very active Democrat in my county and state party, I, too, have been wondering why right after, like the day after the election, after my hangover was over, why we didn't start party building and, you know, building up the party to be ready to deal with the health care debate instead
Chris, this is what we were saying is, you know, the White House did, let's just say, misunderestimate that the right wing would do the same thing they do on every issue. They're going to lie and they're going to fear monger and they're going to divide. And you're right. We should have seen this coming. And now we've spent all the time on the defense. Yes, Christopher.
I have an update on our child stars stories that we did.
Yes.
Okay. Mark Lester. Who asked for the or who gave the sperm?
The godfather of Michael Jackson's children, who said he donated the sperm and the kids maybe his. Uh huh.
He's world famous as Oliver Twist in the movie version of Oliver.
Oh.
Was he in Jesus Christ Superstar?
No, he wasn't.
Well, then I don't care.
Okay, right. Sorry about that. And now back to the program.
Okay, and now back to our regularly scheduled programming. Oh, here's another side fun fact: a comedy bit that the Stephanie Miller newscast in its earlier incarnation. On the ABC radio network.
Yeah?
The comedy skit, Jesus Christ Superstud.
Oh,
yeah.
The one that got fired.
The one that got us fired?
That got us fired.
Yeah.
But it was funny.
It was damn funny.
That's funny!
It was so offensive.
Yeah.
But really almost worth it, wasn't it?
Yeah. Almost.
Just me? Okay.
Apart from the being out of a job thing.
Yeah. Was it worth the unemployment?
Apart from the whole not working for a couple of years. Yeah, it was satisfying. Okay. So I mentioned, because of being one of the White House's powerful talk show allies,
mm-hmm.
according to Politico.com, I was the first one that asked, what the hell did he mean by getting wee-weed up? Last week,
yeah.
The White House has explained what wee-weed, the president said everybody's getting all wee-weed up. Robert Gibbs said it's a phrase that I use. He said, let's do this in a way that's family friendly. I think wee-weed up is when people get all nervous so for no particular reason. Bedwetting would probably have been a more consumer-friendly term for it.
Yes.
We're all becoming a bunch of nervous bedwetters. Just getting wee-weed up is what they meant. Oh, all right. So, as we've mentioned, I've just seen no need to, as Frank Rich wrote brilliantly once again this week, to negotiate with a party that is made up largely of lunatic fringe at this point. There is no difference between the Chuck Grassleys, the senators actually working on legislation and pulling the plug on grandma and the death panels and the lies that the right are telling, and, you know, and the actual senators like Chuck Grassley. For instance, there are lunatics claiming that witchcraft... is
witchcraft.
Being practiced in the White House.
Cuckoo witchcraft.
Far-right lunatic claims witchcraft is being practiced in the White House. This is townhall.com, where right-wing lunacy lives. The Obama White House is abuzz with talk of witchcraft by the first grandmother who lives in the White House. A close friend of Michelle Obama says the president is furious at his mother-in-law after learning that she was practicing Santeria.
Santeria? She's practicing?
She's like,
no, she's not practicing Santeria in the White House.
She's
bleeding chickens.
In the...
Oh, boy.
He is, according to Town Hall, he is adamant that Sasha and Malia be raised with Christian influences.
But...
What? I thought he's a Muslim.
Are.
I'm confused now. He does not want them to be involved in African voodoo.
Do-do that voodoo that you do so well.
Obama reportedly told Michelle that her mother would have to go back to Chicago if she doesn't stop this witchcraft mumbo-jumbo immediately.
I doubt he's ever said the words witchcraft mumbo-jumbo.
It's like voodoo.
And where are they getting this information?
Yeah,
from
this is
townhall.com.
Yeah, I gotta read. So Wonkette did a really funny piece on this.
Uh-huh.
And somebody from Town Hall wrote them back.
Oh, really?
Dear Wonkette, yes, this is we can use the hate music that we get for our hate letters. Dear Wonkette editors, I posted a very serious article recently in townhall.com about witchcraft in the White House.
They actually took the time to write that.
And later realized that your website had made a farce out of it.
Yes.
That's what Wonkette does.
It does.
I saw that your staff and readers made a lot of extremely cruel comments about me and my story. Why are you people so rude? Doesn't anyone take anything seriously anymore? Do you really, truly, seriously think it's okay for a president to use a forged birth certificate?
Oh,
Do you actually believe it's appropriate for a man who was raised a Muslim to pretend he's a Christian and go to church for 20 years with an anti-American preacher? No. Do you really want a president who was brainwashed by communists since he was a child up through university to hate America to be our president? Do you think it's fine if a family member of the president defiles the White House with voodoo? Don't you know what fate could befall our nation as a result of allowing satanic forces to gather over the White House? This is who we're negotiating with.
Oh, God.
After 8 years of a president sent by God, talking about George Bush, to lead the American people and rescue us from the horrors of 9/11.
Which happened on his watch.
Yes.
And
which wouldn't have happened if if Al Gore had been president.
And Islamofascists, it now boils down to this, how incredibly tragic. You folks don't really seem to understand the extreme peril that our nation confronts. Stop making fun of me. Take off your...
They just have to quote you. They don't have to make fun of you
at
all.
Take off your blinders. Wake up. Respectfully, Kristen from townhall.com.
Kristen is a Christian.
Kristen.
Yeah.
Clearly a Christian. Okay.
Voodoo in the White House. And it's George like an old Bush Kevin saved Meany us bit. From 9/11.
Turn that Santeria down. It's like voodoo.
Voodoo.
What's your mother doing over there?
We're not voodoo people.
Turn down that Santeria mumbo jumbo.
What are those pants he's wearing? We're not girl pants people. All right, 44 minutes after the hour, right back with all the latest on healthcare as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller, Los Angeles. Boy, I thought I'd heard the gayest bump ever, but no.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, by the way, my tour of New York City that I went on last week included my old apartment.
Did you see Kay Rooney?
Oh, I think Kay Rooney is probably long.
Muerta?
Muerta.
Slopped off this mortal coil?
I have a feeling.
Okay.
Since she was like 1,000 and drinking rye back in the early 1990s when I last lived in New York.
Come and have a shot of rye.
A glass of rye. She'd offer you a whole glass of rye.
A tumbler.
Stevie, come in for a glass of rye. It's 9 in the morning. He's all right, come on in.
Did you ever take her up on his generous offer?
I saw my actual garbage cans that used to... Remember, she used to leave me the long messages on my machine about the recycling? Stevie, it's Kay Rooney. Listen, I told you to put the bottles and the cans in a separate place with the newspapers. I will get a summons. This is Kay Rooney. like it could be anyone else.
Did you better get me some Lucky Strikes without the filters?
Did you ever take her up on her offer for a glass of rye?
No.
No?
No.
So you still, to this day, don't know what rye tastes like?
Only if it's in a box. A box of rye.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Trey in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph, how are you?
Good, honey, go ahead.
You guys really are out of line, you and whoever's in the White House, too, from not having kids. Wee-wee is what the last pig did on all the way home, the kids game. It's totally family-friendly.
Yeah, but that's not...
And even the White House blew it.
That's not... but that's not what he meant. And I am a childless loser, thank you.
But you knew that nursery rhyme.
By the way, I realize that even when I don't fly Screaming Baby Airlines, the Screaming Babies congregate around me on the normal flights. You know what I had this time?
What?
I had that because I was sleeping, and I had the kid that dropped the toy that I had to find.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Could you, Mike, he dropped his toy. I'm like, whatever.
You were trying to relax with your Bose Quiet Comfort headphones.
I am sucking down a teeny bottle of wine here. Do you mind? All right, Lawrence.
You were getting all wee-weed up, weren't you?
Exactly. Lawrence in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on
Hello,
Caribou
Steph
Barbie.
Guys.
Hello.
Yes, as soon as you mentioned witchcraft, my memory bank had stored a video that's on the internet tubes everywhere showing a shaman waving his arms over Sarah Palin and wishing that the witches would stay away from her
in a
future endeavor.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I picture witchcraft and Republicans.
So there would have actually, there would have actually been witchcraft in the White House had Sarah Palin gotten
there. That's right.
There would have been voodoo.
Mumbo jumbo.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. There has been speculation, by the way, the president on vacation up in Martha's Vineyard that he may visit Ted Kennedy, but they're saying maybe not. So I don't know. But that There was speculation that he may visit Ted Kennedy, but the latest is maybe not.
Well, yeah, Ted Kennedy has done a lot for President Obama.
Yeah. All right. It's just sad during this. Well, a lot of people have talked about how you know, good he was at this. You know, it's hard to say if they'd be going differently if Ted Kennedy were involved. But
And apparently, a majority of people in Massachusetts think that Ted Kennedy's idea is a good one of making sure that the governor appoints someone as soon as possible.
They think they somehow have some crazy notion they're entitled to two senators?
Yes.
That's coming. Well, then, that's socialism.
They probably shouldn't have changed the law in the first place. But
yeah.
You know.
Former Senate Democratic leader Tom Daschle said Obama is losing patience with negotiations between Democrats and Republicans.
About time.
Good. Good. On the Senate Finance Committee, in the only congressional panel seeking a bipartisan consensus on a plan to remake health care, he's waited and waited, Daschle said yesterday after meeting with the president. He has indicated, much to the chagrin of people in his party, that virtually everything's on the table and he's gotten almost nothing in return for it.
Yep.
Yes! That's our point from the beginning. All right. Senator John McCain, he's saying there's no death panels, but maybe sort of?
Kind of. Mm-hmm.
Look, I don't think they were, quote, death panels. Don't get me wrong. I don't think. But on the best treatment procedures part of the bill, it does open it up to decisions being made as far that should be left, those choices left to the patient and the individual.
And they are, and he knows better.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
He's been sucking on the government health teat since he was sucking on a teat.
Yes, exactly. Or as Chuck Grassley would say,
his entire life.
I know.
It's a Navy family, and he went into government.
So why do we keep asking people like Mitt Romney that didn't even win the Republican primary what the president has to do?
You don't have to have a public option. You don't have to have government get an insurance business to make it work.
Oh.
You just need to know who let the dogs out. Woof, 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 woof.
Mittens again. On the
I think any time you're dealing with people's health care and their ability to choose their doctor, their ability to decide what kind of health care plan they want, you're going to find people are going to respond very emotionally.
Yeah, just a little. Charles Krauthammer, by the way, Jim. See, this is all part of the, you know, what we were talking about. That psychologically, what they're trying to do is, look, the public option's already gone. Don't bother.
Right.
Don't bother calling or writing or saying anything about it.
In the end, they all understand that you can pass it without a public option because, in the end, the bluff on the left to vote against is only a bluff. They are not going to destroy health care reform and the president at the same time over that one issue.
I don't know that I'd mess with Maxine Waters if I were you, but yeah, this is who we're dealing with, by the way, on the right, the Sarah Palin and the death panels and the Flavin.
Whatever.
She is winning the birther primary.
There's a birther primary?
Yes. A new analysis by Public Policy Polling finds Sarah Palin is especially popular with a key Republican demographic, the birthers. Yes, the people that believe President Obama was not born in the United States or are undecided. She has a 66% favorability rating with the right-wing lunatics. Mike Huckabee, second. Newt Gingrich, third. And Mitt Romney, 43% favorability. He's last place.
I think the Republicans should run Sarah Palin.
Could that be because Mitt Romney is last because he actually got health care reform passed in Massachusetts?
Shh. Don't talk about that.
Oh, you're not allowed to bring that up? Okay.
Dwight in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. Just on health insurance reform, I mean, I may be wrong, but I think the whole thing here is this is about health insurance reform, not health care reform. Everybody says that, and it scares everyone. I mean, the things we need, public option, the employer mandate, and don't tax the insurance benefits, all that has to do with insurance. And I think it makes it easy for them, for the Republicans, to talk about things like death panels and all that because that's health care. But you don't hear them barking about the insurance companies accepting pre-existing conditions.
I mean, right. Well, Dwight, they have been calling it health insurance reform, but, you know, you're right. It may be late in the debate because people, you're right, they're just not some of these right-wing lies apparently are sticking.
Well, that scares people, especially our elderly and the marginal. You talk about changing their health care. Well, you're not. You're trying to help them get insurance. I mean, that's just my opinion. But,
Okay. You're right. Let's go to Janet in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Janet.
Hello, we will have public option, and we thank you for everything you do to keep us informed and educated in this matter. We have to support President Obama just as we supported him to get him elected. And as long as we're doing that and people like you guys are keeping us informed, we will get our public option.
Oh, Janet, I want to believe you, and therefore I choose to. We will have the public option because I said so, Chris.
Mm. Okay.
So I'm a powerful talk show.
Oh, Jim, are you losing faith?
Whatever.
No, of course not. Okay. Everything's going to be great.
That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Baker. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.